I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen.
From the century-old St. John's Lutheran Church of Taylor, Michigan, comes the coast-to-coast edition of Martin Luther's Evening Prayer. The message from God's Word is prepared and delivered by Reverend Dr. Richard Ziley, and this local broadcast is made possible by the generosity of hearers like you. You may like us on Facebook, Martin Luther's Evening Prayer. May God bless your listening.
A meditation in this time of pandemic. The rise of the COVID-19 pandemic has brought to our century a tribulation familiar to many in past centuries. An unseen pathogen causes our bodies to fail, and it comes to us through those who are physically closest to us. It confronts us with the truth we try so hard to deny, our mortality. Although other strains of the flu have infected so far and killed so far significantly more people in our country this year than COVID-19, its exponential growth threatens to overwhelm our medical facilities. Ordinary interactions with people are now forbidden, and the responsibility of sickness is laid on those who will not conform to the new measures. If we thought freedom of association or of movement were some kind of absolute right, we now realize that all such freedoms are contingent upon circumstance. We cannot afford to tolerate socializing in bars if it puts others at risk. This is a social current quite at odds with the popular culture many of us have observed, where risk-taking was celebrated, especially in drugs, in sex, in social nonconformity. This shift in social attitude is, of itself, jarring. Has God got your attention yet? God allows disaster to come upon us to remind us that we depend utterly upon Him. The very despair of our own powers is what drives us to beg of the Lord to restrain what we cannot control. Nothing humbles us as fear does. In Psalm 51, David writes, "A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." Our call then in this time of fear and danger is to turn to God and away from our sins. When disease can make a crime out of ordinary interaction, so we can recognize that our conduct is always subject to God's judgment. Not one of us can claim to have lived without sin. Therefore, every one of us must turn to God to ask forgiveness and admit that His is the power, the kingdom and rule, the glory, the praise or credit. Some of us have been mouthing these things without meaning them, without understanding them. Daniel 4 describes the humbling of Nebuchadnezzar, the great king of Babylon, whose mind was taken from him so that he lived in the field like an animal until he understood and accepted that God is in charge, and none can stay his hand or say to him, "What dost thou?" Our help in trouble. We can repent like the people of Nineveh did, who were spared for a generation after heeding the preaching of Jonah. They received the normal full measure of life, but still died at the end, and their city and civilization ended as the prophet Nahum, among others, declared. When God delivers us from the trouble ahead of us, we too are liable to fall back into denying our mortality, denying our dependence upon God. We are liable to return to our sinful security, only to allow death to catch us unawares and unprepared. "You fool," God says to the rich man who tore down his barns to build bigger barns to store his excess. Your soul is required of you this night, and whose will be all the goods you have laid up for yourself? From Jesus' parable in Luke 12, verse 20. Who can deliver us from this present trouble and keep us from death that is inevitable for every one of us? The Son of God, our Lord Jesus the Christ, is the one who delivers not only from the clear and present danger of pandemic, but also from that which makes death so fearful. We fear death because it is the consequence of sin. Christ himself faced death in the face, and in his agony in the garden, experienced the anxiety bordering on despair so many of us feel in the shadow of death. He too suffered the jarring effect of changing social attitudes as those who acclaimed him on Palm Sunday turned on him on Good Friday, even one of his trusted disciples. But his faith never faltered. He prayed for those who executed him, forgave those who denied him, and even more wondrous, entrusted himself into the hands of the Father, whose wrath for sin he had endured. In other words, he who said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Also said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. This removed the sting of death for his people and changed its meaning. Then his resurrection opened the way for them to eternal life. It all adds up to a changed perspective. Knowing that we will die, and that means to sleep in Christ awaiting our own resurrection, the self-serving fear which tempts us to despair and panic is defeated. Our flesh may still feel it to a greater or lesser extent, but we know the reality is hope. At the same time, we care about the suffering of others, whether the pain of sickness or the fear of dying. Freed from our own fears, we can focus on what we can do to help others. Affirming our trust in God will be an example of hope to those facing the existential issue. Patience in doing our part in the community is also part of our calling. Material help, where opportunity presents itself, is also a blessing to others. Feeding the hungry, helping the vulnerable, remembering the forgotten, and encouraging those on the front lines, our nurses, medical workers, physicians, etc., will bring glory to God, blessing to our neighbors, and for ourselves, what Christ calls treasure in heaven. This time of pandemic is an opportunity for renewing our faith and doing the works that bring meaningful help to others. May God be praised in all things. May God be praised in our lives and our response to the present crisis. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our text is taken from Job 38. The story of Job is about a sincere religious man who was tested through suffering. All his goods are taken away. Then his children died. And finally, his own health was destroyed, leaving him a social outcast, blamed and accused by his three friends. Although Job does not curse God and die in despair, he does demand answers of God, and even wishes aloud for an advocate with God, someone who knows what it is like for poor humans, who would serve as a redeemer for those treated unfairly in the world. The climax of the book of Job is when God himself appeared, as described in Job 38, verses 1 through 17, our text. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with its doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, 'Thus far shall you come, and no farther, and here shall stand your proud waves to be stayed.' Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness?" This is our text. Job could answer none of these questions. He realizes that he is out of his depth and admits that he does not have what it takes to make things right between himself and God. But many years later, on the day we celebrate this morning, another righteous sufferer proved that he could answer all these questions and demands that Job could not. On this festival of Easter, let us affirm the meaning of the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection shows that Jesus has what it takes. In the first place, the resurrection shows that Jesus has what it takes to make our case with God the Father. Now, Job couldn't answer those questions God put to him out of the whirlwind. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together? Have you commanded the morning since your days began? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? These are cosmic questions. They are beyond Job's understanding, beyond our understanding. Job's issues with God, why do people suffer, is a cosmic issue. Job or you or I could not comprehend the discussion. It would be like trying to explain to your toddler that the monsters on TV won't come out and eat him later on. But Jesus could answer those questions. He was there when God laid the foundations of the earth. He was there to lay the cornerstone of creation, the pride of the angels who shouted in joy. Christ commanded the morning since from the beginning, and he passed through the gates of death and descended into hell. Now, Job wanted an advocate, a redeemer,
an intercessor who could plead for him on God's level. And Christ is precisely this. He was God with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one of the triune God. His birth on earth was another occasion when the sons of God shouted for joy. They proclaimed glory to God in the highest and anticipating his work, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. He was the Son of God, the Word or Logos, who became man, taking our part, our flesh, our nature. In this he fulfilled the words that God spoke to Job in our text, dress for action like a man. He put on human vesture to undertake the work of our salvation, to become one of us, to be our brother, our champion, our savior. And as one of us, he suffered in the sinful world, with us and for us. Then he took all our guilt, the sins of the world, upon himself, dying for sin. He was buried as each of us must be buried, but he rose again from the dead, leaving our sins in the tomb. In his body he descended into hell to proclaim victory over the devil. In his body he appeared to his followers, Mary Magdalene, Peter and John and all the disciples for 40 days. In his body he ascended into heaven to the right hand of God, where he pleads on our behalf, showing his wounded hands to his Father, praying for us, making peace with God for us. The resurrection shows that Jesus has what it takes to make our case to the Father. But he does more for us than that. When you break your neighbor's window, you do more than merely apologize. You fix what was broken. So Job wanted more than God's explanation for suffering. He wanted healing. And Christ came to give Job and every sinner reconciled to God healing. The resurrection shows that Jesus has what it takes to renovate our human nature. His presence and participation at the creation show that he had the wisdom to renovate man. We damaged human nature because of sin. Christ came to renew that. His power to restore human nature was demonstrated again and again in healing after healing. But as to repair what really matters, our immortal souls, he himself had to die. His own risen and glorified body shows what he will do for you and for me. For we are joined to his death and resurrection by baptism. And St. Paul says he is the first fruits of them that sleep, meaning that we will follow in his path. It's not just Christ's resurrection that we celebrate today, but all of our resurrection, the resurrection of all who follow Christ. For if we are joined to him in a death like his, we certainly will be joined to him in a resurrection like his. The bond of faith, the sacrament of baptism, the communion around this altar, these are what join us to Christ and assure us that in him we have died to sin, and with him we will rise to everlasting life. Now, a man once bought a new car, which turned out to be a lemon. He brought it to the mechanic and asked if anything can be done about it. The mechanic told him, for $200 I can make it run like new, but to make it run like it's supposed to will cost at least double that. Christ did not just restore us to the status quo ante. He didn't just restore us to a pleasant life of 70 years or so. He makes us fit for everlasting life. He makes us ready to see God and not be destroyed. So as one old Christian hymn puts it, in Christ we have more blessing than Adam lost. If Christ is dwelling in you, you have the power of resurrection. You have change within you. You are growing in love for God and hope for an eternal future. If you have Christ in you, you are growing in love for others and an ability to forgive, to pray for others, to live your life as a blessing to others through whatever your station in life or your various callings. The power of the risen Christ enables you to endure and see all things in the true perspective, not in the perspective of the day, but in the perspective of eternity, realizing that our present pleasures will come to an end, therefore we do not set our hearts upon them, and that our present troubles will come to an end when Christ comes for us, his own, and therefore we do not despair over earthly troubles and discouragements, which are but temporary. The resurrection shows that Jesus has what it takes to make our peace with the Father and to renovate our human nature, for his is a cosmic victory on our behalf over death. Therefore we say this glorious day, Christ is risen, hallelujah. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. And may that peace of Christ that surpasses understanding keep your hearts and minds in this true and joyful faith until your journey's end. Amen. Let us stand for the litany of the resurrection. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
hear us.
Paschal Lamb, who was offered for us and has taken away the sin of the world,
have mercy on us.
Who was crucified for our transgressions and raised for our justification,
have mercy on us.
Who foretold your passion, saying, the Son of Man must be crucified and on the third day rise again,
have mercy on us.
Who destroyed death by dying, and by rising to life again, brought life and immortality to light,
have mercy on us.
Whose resurrection was first announced by an angel to the women,
have mercy on us.
Who appeared to Mary Magdalene and was worshipped by her,
have mercy on us.
Who revealed yourself to the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, and made yourself known to them in the Scriptures, and in the breaking of the bread,
have mercy on us.
Who appeared to the disciples, bestowing on them your peace and your spirit,
have mercy on us.
Who showed your wounded hands and side to the apostle Thomas, that he too might believe,
have mercy on us.
Who appeared to seven disciples on the Sea of Tiberias, bringing a miraculous catch of fish,
have mercy on us.
Who appeared to Peter and to the 12, to over 500 disciples, to James and to all the apostles, and to Paul on the Damascus Road,
have mercy on us.
Who commissioned your church to make disciples of all nations by baptizing and teaching them,
have mercy on us.
By your glorious resurrection from the dead,
good Lord, deliver us.
By your victory over sin and death,
good Lord, deliver us.
By the majesty of your risen body,
good Lord, deliver us.
We poor sinners implore you
to hear us, Lord Jesus,
that we may daily die and rise with you in our baptism and walk in the freedom of your forgiveness.
Grant us, good Lord,
that we may set our minds on things above and not on earthly things, serving as we have been served by you.
Grant us, good Lord,
that we may dwell with you forever in the new creation as citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem, together with all the saints.
Grant us, good Lord.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy on us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy on us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
grant us your peace.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Let us pray. O God, for our redemption, you gave your only begotten Son to the death of the cross, and by his glorious resurrection delivered us from the power of the enemy. Grant that all our sin may be drowned through daily repentance, and that day by day we may arise to live before you in righteousness and purity forever. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty, merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. Then go to sleep at once and in good cheer.